Welcome to the Marlton Assembly of God Sermon Podcast. Our church is focused on developing fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We hope you are blessed by this message.
I wanted to show you, especially if you're new, you might not know who I am, but I'm a family man. This is my family. For some of you kind of know, but that's on the left side. That's my youngest daughter. She's 15. She's a sophomore at Cherokee. Her name is Bri. All the way to the right, we have a junior at Evangel University. Her name is Joanna. We call her JoJo. JoJo with the mojo right there. And next to my wife in the middle, her name is Abigail. Abigail means a father's joy. She was married, that name is in the Bible, married to King David. And she's brought a lot of joy to us, and we're having a little life change as we speak. My daughter just got engaged to a young man by the name of Tyler. That's their engagement picture, so we're happy for them. He's a graphic arts designer, does video, actually works for the Assemblies of God, helps missionaries create their presentations and their videos. Actually, Love and Lies, you know, whatever, that was created by Tyler, and so he's very gifted and talented, and we're excited for them, I think. We just met the in-laws, like Tyler's parents last week. They were in town for a business trip or whatever, and he's an inventor. He's actually, Tyler's dad invented a sleek line medical device that's a patented, during surgery, I guess, like when they put that tube down your throat, I guess sometimes it breaks people's teeth while they're in surgery, and he invented a streamlined, I don't know what it's called, but a better practice. So he's an inventor, really nice people, Christian people from the Midwest. And so they were happy that the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. But anyway, for 3 hours, we were at the Harvest dinner, and I was glad that meeting was over. But anyway, nice people, nice people. If you're with us last week, you remember that we talked about marriage and God's roles for marriage, and God wants what's best for you and your children. And if we don't do it God's way, you have to play other roles. But God's designed a man and a woman inside of marriage and children. Now, let me just say this. There's no perfect family, but I do want to mention this, especially if you don't know anything about God, or maybe you came here for some type of hope or encouragement or for a lift. In the book of 1 John, it says that God is love. And I want to tell everyone in this room, whether you know me, you know anything else, God loves you and he loves your family. Even if your family is not where it needs to be today, maybe there's brokenness or dysfunction or something's not right, I want you to know that God loves you and your family. Inside of the home should be a great place to rest, for comfort, for safety, for development, for honor, for care, for nurturing. But the reality is, in every home, that's not the case. In the Bible, God created Adam and Eve, and what happened with their children was tragic, and it set the course of human history terribly. Cain killed Abel. So if you've come here today and you say, my family is not where it needs to be, or maybe some of your children aren't serving God, or something's not right, there is a message of hope and grace for your life. Just so you know, my daughter's getting married on May 25th, and we are taking a second offering at the end of this message for her. I'm here to tell you, my family and I, we are not perfect people, but there is hope and there is grace at the end of this message. I hope that comes into your heart. We're going to read the story of Cain and Abel. It's found in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 through 9. Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of the flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry. Let me just say that again, because I'm going to talk to you about anger. Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, But you must rule over it. That's a good thing about sin in our life. It must not master us. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? Look at that real quick. Where is your brother Abel? Actually, these are two great questions of life. If you don't know how to address these questions, you're probably going to feel lost in this world. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned against God? They hid from God, and God came after him and said this question, where are you? That's a great question in life. Where are you? Or where are you with God today? Or what's happening in your life? I'm not talking about anybody else. You. Where are you? The second question is this. Where is your brother Abel? Where's your family today? Where's your brother, your sister, your aunts and uncles? What's going on in their life? And should you be concerned about other people, even if you're grown up? Should you be concerned about people around your life? Those are the two great questions of life. If you read the Ten Commandments, the first four have to do about your relationship with God. No other gods before me. Don't have any idols. The Sabbath day, that's a day of rest between you and God. The next six have to do with other people in your life. The Bible says, do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not covet. All those have to do with other people in your life. So the first part is this, our relationship with God. Then secondly, our relationship with other people. Jesus summed it up like this. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So I want to talk to you about anger. First, anger in the heart. Anger in the heart. Cain had something on the inside. He had deep, or the Bible says, he was very angry. Last year, there was a bipartisan bill with the Republicans, Democrats in our nation. It was about prison reform. Many people in our prison system have too long of prison sentences, especially for nonviolent crimes. I think generally most people realize that we have a prison problem. Too many people in prison for too long. So trying to bring it down. Bipartisan, everybody was happy. But they didn't deal with the real issue. The real issue in America in prison is usually an issue of anger. 70 to 80% of young men who are incarcerated, you could almost trail back anger problem with their father or with their family. So you could imprison people, you can manipulate situations, but the real problem is deep inside of the human soul. And if we have anger in there, it will come out and it will have an influence of other people. So what happened with Cain? You know what Cain did? He presented a sacrifice to God that was unacceptable, probably wasn't right, probably wasn't of first. And all of a sudden, God dealt with him about something and he turned on his brother. Most people in America especially, if God deals with you or sin, usually what we do, we blame somebody else. We don't want to be personally responsible. That's what happened with Adam and Eve, too. You remember Adam and Eve? The woman, I like how he calls them, the woman that you put me here with made me do it. I couldn't get by that with my wife. Like if someone says, hey, where's your wife? The woman is standing in the lobby. It wouldn't work in today's language. It's there. But I want you to see, even under the most difficult circumstance of murder, that God was reaching out to Cain. God was conversating. God was speaking. The God of the Bible is a personal God that you can communicate with, and God loves to talk to people. And I want you to see, even though there was this anger deep in the heart, God will come and try to help people, even if they're about to mess up or when they do mess up. Look what it says in verse 6 and 7. Watch this. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? I mean, he's talking to him. He's asking questions. You're about to fall off the cliff. Don't do it. But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It deserves to have you, but you must master it. So there are people that get themselves in trouble all the time, and God is trying to reach out with his love and mercy. And just so you know, this whole sermon series about love and lies, what Satan loves to do is tell you that you're not important, that God doesn't love you, there's no hope, God isn't real, the Bible's not true. He just wants to breathe lies upon lies upon lies, but God wants to love you and give you grace. Even if you're messed up, you're going the wrong direction, God is trying to reach you. Even you're listening to my voice, God is trying to reach you. He's trying to speak to you. It's called grace. It's amazing. The other day, I was at Restelli's. Does anyone know about Restelli's? It's right around the corner. That's a blessing. Restelli's has half off all of its meals, Monday through Friday. I'm just telling you, ladies and gentlemen, go to Restelli's for lunch or dinner, half off. Each day there's something new that's half off. And I was, last week, you remember, it was about 60 degrees. I had my windows down. I was waiting for my wife and daughter. They ran into Restelli's. By the way, for the young men, this is life. Your wife and daughter go somewhere, you wait. That's just what you do. You wait. I was waiting in the car. My windows were down. And right next to me, the car right next, there was a man in his car with the windows down. I wasn't paying attention or anything like that. There was just another man. And another car comes and pulls up right in front of my car, my truck. And he parked there and like kind of boxed me in. And the guy next to me gets out of the car and goes and talks to the person. And all they said was this: it's really nice to meet you. And then the person in the driver's seat passed an envelope to the person and drove away. I was sitting there, I was like, what is in the envelope? Even right now, I'm still kind of curious. Yeah, I've seen drug deals and all. It didn't seem that way. At first, I thought maybe it's an Uber ride. I thought maybe they knew each other. All it was a car that pulled up. I could hear it. Nice to meet you. An envelope. And then the car sped away. And my mind was, did you just give him money? You know what I was thinking? I wish somebody would give me an envelope. I was like looking. It's like, is there another car coming? It was like the most, and just happened. Like, what just happened? Do you know what God wants to do for everybody in this room? God wants to come and give you grace. Grace is something that you can't do for yourself. It's just a gift from God. God knows that we are in trouble as a human people, and he can help you. Some people think that God just kind of standing back here, he doesn't really care. Like, you mess up, there's no God, you know, go to church, maybe, maybe not, there's no God. But all through Scripture, even under the most difficult family situations, God is keep reaching out. He's speaking to your sons, he's speaking to your daughters, he's trying to get them to go the right direction. Even if people are angry or frustrated, there's an answer to the human heart. There's a cure for the angry heart. If your heart is cold, God can warm it up. He can fill it with the Spirit of the living God. If you are bound with anger, and by the way, most men have anger in their life, God can set you free. You might have a trigger. Just something in life just bothers you. And you just walk right down the street, and all of a sudden, the guy doesn't use the blinker. They're from Delaware. You're like, oh, man, an idiot. And you're like, ah! It happens to me once in a while. Pastor Christian just moved here from Pennsylvania. He goes, oh, I keep forgetting that they pump your gas here in New Jersey. For me, it's the opposite because I'm mostly in New Jersey. Last year, I went to Pennsylvania. I was somewhere in Pennsylvania, and I pulled to get gas, and I sat there for like 20 minutes. I'm like, when is a guy going to come and fill up the gas tank? I'm mad at them. Aren't you grateful that we don't have to pump our own gas? Come on, somebody. Us in Oregon, right? Or whatever it is. But inside of the human heart, God has a cure. We've been using this word called deliverance. It's an old school word that God can deliver people. I told you this a couple weeks ago. There's a young man that came to our church. God's doing amazing things in his life or whatever. But one thing he couldn't do is break drugs. God touched him, set him free, and all this other stuff. But every time he gets stressed, he smoke weed, him and his boys or whatever. A lot of people do. They go, when people have problems, they sometimes go to a bad place, a dark place, an isolated place. And he was telling me, like, Pastor, I'm trying to kick it. You know, I'm trying to kick it. I try to hold him accountable, whatever. He couldn't kick it. Pastor Jamel was ministering 3 weeks ago, came to the altar. He came up to me after church with joy in his face. He goes, I think God got set free. And because I know how drugs are, sometimes it comes rushing back or temptation. I sat with breakfast with him. He goes, I've been set free now for 22 days. Jesus delivered me. Amen. And he used these words. I didn't. He goes, do you think it could have been like a demonic, like a stronghold in my life? I'm a little bit careful to like label some things because some people just, they'll take that and they'll run with it. You know, they'll start a ministry. They'll buy a white van, some white shoes, and they'll go out preaching about that. We're not, but when you're bound by something and Jesus sets you free, you do put your hands in the air and say, Lord Jesus, thank you. Because Satan loves to lie. You can't get off of it. We're seeing right now in our church, in our congregation, God touching people from alcohol, from drugs, from living, crazy mindset, and Jesus is just setting free. Listen, I believe in meetings. I believe in counseling. I believe in help, talking to people. All these things are wonderful tools. But when Satan has you, when he's got you, Jesus sets you free. Truth sets you free. And Jesus wants to set people free. If you come here tonight and you have a life issue, you say, I've tried everything. I've tried cold turkey. I've done everything. I want to tell you, Jesus wants to set you free. Our God raises the dead, heals the blind. He does impossible things in our life when we call on his name. This is the gospel. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Watch this. Here's that word again. For it's by grace you have been saved. Grace is what we need that costs us nothing, that costs Jesus everything. It's like someone comes and gives you an envelope. You don't deserve it. God gives grace. Everyone in this room, you don't deserve it. God wants to give you his grace. He wants to tell you how much he loves you. He has a word for you, has an encouragement for you. But we have to take hold of it through faith. This is not from yourselves. This is a gift from God. Not by works that no one can boast. So God gives the grace. He gives the faith. We respond to faith in obedience to God. That's when the miracles come. Not by works, so no one can boast. My parents used to sing an old school song, only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Believe by God. Believe by faith that God can do it. A lot of people don't have faith. They don't have belief. But when we turn to God, God moves upon our heart. The grace of God, that God's going to touch us. He's going to touch our family. He's going to set us free from the bondages that we're in. He's going to set us free. We grab hold of it by faith. You know why? This is, moms and dads, listen to this. This is how God wants your kids to turn out. For we are God's handiwork, craftsmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Everybody in this room, you're made very valuable, important to God. And before you were even born in your mother's womb, God had a plan for your life that you would do great things for God. He doesn't want you just being an amoeba of self or selfishness or caught up in the world. He's got a plan and a purpose. He wants to use your gifts and talents for his glory to reflect the goodness of God. He has you a part of the family of God to get people saved and do great things for God. Satan loves to neutralize you and say your life doesn't matter. There may be people in this room right now, you have no reason to live. Suicide is an option. You say, I don't even want to live. Satan's got you. And Jesus wants to set you free. He wants almost to break open the chains and say, listen, I've got something for you. You're important to me. That's what God does. He does it by grace. He does it through faith. And today, you're here. Maybe you're frustrated. You're angry. You're like a cane. It's like leaning up on you. It's discouragement. It's just hounding you, whatever it is. Leave your marriage. Leave your spouse. Your kids. It's just hounding you, these thoughts and thoughts and thoughts. And God says, I can help you. I can give you a cure for anger in the heart. There's a second thing, anger in the family. Watch this, because by the way, when you get angry, you usually take it out on the people that's closest to you. Most of you will not come and vent to me all your big problems, but you'll take it out on your spouse or take it out on your kids. That's exactly what Cain did. Watch this, Genesis 4, verse 8. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Jesus talks about murder. Watch this, Matthew 5, verse 22. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, like in Christ, in the church, raka, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of hell. The word raka means vain, empty, and worthless. If anyone would say, like, you know how it is, like, people say, you're nothing to me. You're not important. You're a jerk. Or whatever. They're saying you don't have value. The word raka, actually the Jewish root word means to spit or to spit in someone's face. If you ever got into a fight and someone spits in your face, it's demeaning. I don't like you. Let me take what's inside of me and throw it on you, devalue. The Bible says when anger comes in, oftentimes you're going to turn on your brother or your sister. But I want you to see this, that God in his mercy, even when people mess up, God is right there. Watch this. Genesis chapter 4, verse 9 through 12. Then the Lord God said to Cain, where's your brother Abel? He says, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? The Lord said, what have you done? He's not sending him to hell. He's not casting him away. He's trying to talk to him. The Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you're under a curse and driven from the ground, which opens its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You'll be a restless wanderer on the earth. Do you see the first thing that God's doing? He's beginning to have conversation. He's trying to get someone's life back in order. And all of a sudden, watch this in verse 13 and 14. This is interesting how the story unrolls. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is more than I can bear. And by the way, these are all lies. Watch this. Today you are driving me from the land. Not true. And I will be hidden from your presence. Not true. I will be a wet, restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. God never said that. Actually, look at the next verse, verse 15. But the Lord said to him, not so. You're believing a lie. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over. God was still trying to give the murderous Cain grace. Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. That's called grace. So Cain went, I preach this with a broken heart. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod. There's people in this room, your children, have walked away from the presence of God. It's probably the most broken-hearted thing that could ever happen to a mom or a dad. Your kids out in the world right now, not living for God, away from church or whatever, they've walked away from the presence of God. I want to tell you, moms and dads, I want to tell anybody, family members, if anybody has people, family members, that are away from God right now, God loves your family members. He cares about your family, even if they've walked away, even if you raised them right. That's not, and you're embarrassed, or it shouldn't be this way, you're having to cover for them, or you hope people don't see stuff on social media, or what's being said, or whatever. I get it. I just want you to know God loves you, and he loves your children. Even when our children, when people make bad decisions, they walk away, God is still trying to restore their lives. He's even the worst situation. Nicholas Sutton, he was executed Thursday night in an electrical chair. He killed three people in Tennessee. God touched his life, and these are his last words on planet Earth. Listen to this, and this is bad. If I could leave one thing with all of you, it is don't ever give up on the ability of Jesus Christ to fix somebody or a problem. He can fix anything. Don't ever underestimate his ability. I want to speak to people in this room. If you feel like, John, there's no hope, all I'm telling you is even the worst moments of people's lives, God is trying to build conversation and grace. You might feel like I have a situation that's so broken, so dysfunctional. You might say, you know, John, my husband left me, or you're a young person. Our young people are growing up with such devastating challenges, having to fight through all the challenges. You say, Pastor, I'm the only one who's serving God in my life. The Apostle Paul says he was the worst sinner. Everything wasn't right. But God is a good God. And even though there's anger in the family, God wants to give grace to your family. I know you love your family. I know you love your family. And I want you to know God loves your family. Even if it's broken or hurting or someone's done some really foolish things, what we see in Scripture is God is always going and trying to encourage even broken situations. There is hope. There is grace. And finally, anger in the world. Here's the reality. Inside of the home is an opportunity for you to cultivate what God would have. But if it doesn't work in the home, what happens in the home will then leak out into the world. Cain never got it. Cain never got it. He killed his brother. Could you imagine if you had two sons and one killed the other? I have an adopted cousin. He kind of got himself messed up as a young man, 35 years old. Someone killed him over drugs. Do you know what my uncle said? This is how devastating it is for a family. He goes, at least he didn't do the murder. Because when you have it out there, you don't know what's going out there. But could you imagine your son killed one of the other son? And if it doesn't work in the home, it only intensifies down the road. Watch this. There is later in the scripture, Genesis chapter 4, verse 23. This is all in Genesis chapter 4. Lamech, watch this. This is down the line. Lamech said to his wives, now he has two wives. So God created man and woman, kids inside of marriage. Lamech, he has two wives. And watch this. Ada and Zillah, listen to me, wives of Lamech, hear my words. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. As an old man, he got into a fight with a young man, probably disrespected him, and the Bible says he killed him. If you can kill somebody you know, you could easily kill somebody you don't know. So if you don't deal with our own issues, and by the way, we all have issues, if you don't deal with them, if you allow sin or whatever to master you, you say, well, I'm just going to hide it, I'm not going to deal with it, it will come out at some point. Or if it happens in your kids, it will come out, and we do pass things down the line, especially this issue of violence. We're a bloody nation. We're a violent nation. Matter of fact, God dealt with the whole earth during Noah's time. Watch this. God destroyed the earth. Genesis chapter 6, verse 11. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. Watch the news tonight. Whatever time you want to watch the news, 10 or 11, I guarantee you they're going to start with somebody that's dead, probably in Philly. Probably in Philly. That's how they start the news every time. Another murder in Philly on the streets. Our inner cities are violent. They're violent. Chicago, violent. Camden, violent. Newark, I saw dead bodies. Violent. We're so used to it, we're desensitized. Moms and dads, listen to this. By the time your kid turns 18, they will have seen 30,000 murders on social media and TV. Our video games are extremely violent. They sit in a room, they got these earphones, they're playing video games with some guy in Montana, they're blowing up heads. It's almost like not a big deal. We are so desensitized to life. We watch video, we watch radar movies. Jesus' name is just plastered all over there as if that means nothing. Bodies are drawn heads. It's almost as if it means nothing. In our own lives, we're a violent people. Our children in our womb are under attack. Your moms, your children in that womb are under attack. They're having to fight to get out. And from day one, it's under attack. It's blood everywhere. It's in our sports. We used to like boxing. Full gloves. Today, we take off the gloves. We have a ring. There's blood everywhere. Beasts are going at it. People are hounding like crazed animals, and they're rooting for people, and we love it. And once they're down, we just pound them, and we love it. The violence that's all around us, and God says, I have a solution for that. That anger, that jealousy, that prejudice, that murder, that violence that's all deep inside, and we're angry people. Oh, man, if you love Trump, you particularly love Trump, and you hate the Democrats. If you hate if you hate Trump, he's racist. I mean, really? It's that deep inside of us. Oh, but ladies and gentlemen, it's deep. It's full of hatred and jealousy. It's that deep. Listen, I don't agree with everything George W. Bush did. I'm probably a nice guy. Didn't agree with everything, but it wasn't hatred. Barack Obama, I didn't agree with everything, but it wasn't hatred. Donald Trump, not hatred. We hate. It comes out of us. And I'm telling you, it's ruining our relationships. And Satan's just looking back and says, I got everybody neutralized. You know what God wants to do more than anything else in our world? He wants love to be put in our hearts. Watch this. For God so loved the world. God can inject love for different people in your heart. That's actually the core value. When Christ comes into your heart, he comes in with love. And he changes you. You know what our world needs? Is a little bit more love. And that you can't make that happen. God does it. You open up your heart and say, God, there's just too much around me that's just garbage inside of me. Lord, you need to clean me up. I'm a sinner. God, make me how you want me to be. And the love of God comes and transforms your heart. And Satan has to run. He has to run. But Satan gets a stronghold on us. You know what's interesting about the story about Cain and Abel? The only people we've been talking about is God and Cain. Abel never says anything. He's just the one that gets murdered. Think about that. You're doing the right thing. Your brother gets jealous. This stuff happens sometimes in the religious type of thing. But look what Hebrews chapter 11 says. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. He obeyed the Lord. He tithed or he gave 10%. He gave his first fruits, whatever it is. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks even though he's dead. Hold that right there. Abel still speaks. Abel from the grave, his blood still speaks to us in 2020. You know what it does? Live for God. He's the first martyr in the Bible. It's the first time sin was used. It wasn't used in Genesis chapter 3, but the blood of Abel still speaks to us. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23. Let's talk about Jesus. The sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Abel's blood speaks from the ground, but it's still not good enough. The only blood that is good enough for us is the blood of Jesus Christ. Actually, we're all Cains. This story in the Bible is to help us to understand we are Cain. We are sinners. Abel's blood exposes Cain's wretchedness. Jesus' blood cleanses us from all sin. He is faithful and just to cleanse us. You're here today, you say, I want a fresh start. I want the blood of Jesus to cleanse me and give me a new mind, a new heart. Jesus Christ can set you free and he can make you whole. His blood will never lose its power. If you'll put your trust in him, he can make you brand new. You say, John, I have hatred. I have anger. I want to cheat on my wife. I want to steal. I want to let my know. I want my rights. And Jesus said, oh, you're going in the wrong direction. You're mastered. You have something that masters you. You say, I want to be free. The Lord wants to set you free. The blood of Jesus sets you free. You're in a relationship you shouldn't be in. I'm not talking about marriage. You say, I shouldn't be where I need it. The Lord can help you set you free. You say, really? Oh, good. I'm glad to get out. No, you're married. You know what our hope is? Genesis chapter 4. At the very end of Genesis chapter 4, watch this. It got so bad on planet Earth, the Bible says at that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord. It was so vile, so wicked. It almost sounds like today. So immoral. People are so messed up in their heads, lying, cheating, stealing, whatever. Everybody's going crazy. America has gone crazy. You ever notice that? America, we have lost our way. I'm not saying it was ever great. Slavery was dead wrong. But we are whacked out today. So what's going on in people's minds, we are whacked out. It was so bad in biblical days, the Bible says people stopped and finally they turned to the Lord and began to call on his name. You know, our grandparents, you know what they said? If the price of health insurance keeps going up, we're going to have to believe God for divine healing. I think we just need to believe God that God can save people and set people free. God can heal people and do the miraculous because the world, we can't trust it, but we can trust in Jesus Christ. Young people, listen to me. There's one person you can trust that will never let you down. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the strong Son of God. He is the strong Son of God. And if you'll call on his name, he will be faithful to you as he was to me. I'm just the pastor right now. I'm not going to be the pastor forever. At some point, I will get old. I have to move on. This next generation needs to know where to go. Our help is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never let you down. His word will never fail you. Everybody else will fail you. The next great question is, where am I at with God? But what about my brother's keeper? God has put me and you on this planet, 625 East Main Street. We are our brother's keeper. We have family situations that are just a mess all around us, but God is faithful. We have crazy people. Don't you have like crazy people in your family? If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's you. It's you. You're crazy. But people get on your nerves. They remember you when you were younger. They look at you funny. You don't know, hey, you're losing weight. All this stuff. And God says, I love your family. And even if you don't feel it, you don't sense it, whatever, God can do something wonderful in your family. Even if you've been the victim, someone's touched you, hurt you, abused you, walked out on you, I'm not trying to, all I'm saying is it takes one person to realize, man, this has gone too far, and somebody to call in the name of the Lord. If you'll call in the name of the Lord, that's where miracles take place. And God is faithful, and he's good. Would you stand with me in the Lord's presence? In just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come to the altar and let God set you free. One of the gentlemen last night and tonight goes, I need patience. How many need patience? You say, how do you learn to have patience? You know how you do it? You get really close to Jesus, stay close to Jesus. He says this, apart from me, you could do nothing. You say, I don't have love in my heart. You say, I'm racist. I don't like black people, white people. I don't like rich people. Rich people don't like poor people. Some of you don't like immigrants. Some of you don't like people in the city. City people don't like suburb people. Freshmen don't like seniors. Seniors don't like freshmen. When you're younger, girls don't like boys. Boys don't like girls. When you get older, girls like boys. Boys like girls. You say, how do you have love? You know how you have love? By spending time with Jesus. Jesus had all the gifts of the Spirit in his life. Love, joy. You say, I don't have joy. Spend time with Jesus. You'll have joy. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. The Lord can set you free. He can actually give you love. He can insert love into your heart. All of a sudden, you're cranky, you're mean, you're harsh, you're temperamental, whatever. All of a sudden, God, you get close to Jesus, you spend time with him, and everything changes. Everything changes. If you have something in your family as life-controlling, drugs, alcohol, maybe pornography, jealousy, fits of rage, old boyfriend, old girlfriend, whatever it is, you say, I need God to set me or somebody free in my family, I want to tell you, Jesus wants to set people free. And you might represent somebody. I'm not trying to say, hey, you're a bad person. That has not. We're talking about how good he is. But you're saying, hey, my kid, you know, he's in a bad relationship. This girl is not the right girl for him. And, you know, sometimes it's like a mom or whatever. You're just kind of bargaining. No, 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 no. Sometimes God just tells you to back off. Let me deal with it. Sometimes God just has to deal with it. That happened. I'm just telling you, I grew up in a Christian home. My parents were good people. But each one of my two sisters and me, sometimes we like be interested in somebody. I just noticed my parents, I told you this before, they wouldn't start nagging us about relationships as we started getting older. I just saw my parents say, oop, that's not right. And they would back off and go into their prayer closet. We knew they didn't like who we were like hanging with, but and it almost bothered me that you're praying. Like, stop praying. Like, leave me alone. They're like, sometimes you can't force it, moms and dads. You can't make it happen. You can't nag people. You can't control them. You can't stiff arm them. You can't control it. But God can do it. And I'm telling you, there's things in life that aren't the way they're supposed to be. But if you just say, well, I have the right. I'm a victim. I'm angry. I'm mad. It's that you can't move on with your life. And the Lord wants to set you free. This could actually be your testimony. Some of you are so into your feelings, your emotions, whatever. God says, I want to set you free. I'm going to put love in your heart. And let Jesus just heal it. Let Jesus just overwhelm it. And it could be something so small. You say, well, it's not like big stuff. Oh, but if it's in your life, it's a big deal. We had a guy, I think it was a guy, about 3 years ago. He had a problem with, like, I think it's either pinky or his toe. Like, he goes, I have a problem with my pinky. And to most people, like, that's not a big deal. But if it's your pinky, we're going to pray for you. It might not be that big deal, but if it's in your life, you say, God, this is a problem. Can you heal me? Can you help me? Can you deliver me? I want to tell you, God is faithful. He's good. And life is not easy. And family relationships, they're difficult. My wife and I are on Miriam's side of the family. They just went through a very tragic situation. It hits everybody, but the grace of God. People put their faith in God. They come to an altar and say, oh, God, my family needs you. My family needs you. And let me just tell you this. I'm going to tell you how this works. Sometimes you pray and you pray, you cry, you throw yourself on the bed, you let it be known, and it gets worse. And Satan goes, ha-ha, prayer doesn't work. And it gets worse. When it gets worse, you don't give up. You just know you're in a battle. And you keep praying. You keep believing God. To the day, you have to believe God. At that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Hail Mary time. In America, this is Hail Mary time. This has nothing to do with the election. This has to do with the soul of our country. It has nothing to do with President Trump gets another 4 years or Bernie, whoever. It's in the heart of his people. And it leaks over. My brother's keeper, yeah, God's put me on this planet. My wife and I, we were just in a local supermarket, and I saw a police officer. I'm a chaplain in this town. So I joke with my family. I say, hey, my brother in arms needs me. They're like, you're not a cop. I'm like, I feel like a cop. I'm a chaplain. And I just went over to talk to him. He goes, you know, those little things that you do as a church goes a long way. On Christmas morning, I got up like 4:30 and got donuts and coffee for all the policemen in Evesham Township. They have a roll call at 6 o'clock. None of them want to be there. They're all the rookies. Not a lot of violence in Marlton on Christmas morning. Those little things, hey, we love you, care about, it goes a long way. The things that you do, you don't realize when you shed love and light and encouragement, it goes a long way. And I just want you to know how much God loves you and cares about you. If you want a couple things, you want to give your heart to Christ, or you want to pray for your family, or specifically, if there's an addiction or a life-controlling thing, or someone needs to be set free, you say, I'm going to come pray for my family around this altar.